Good evening. The show begins tonight in the U.S. economy, which is outperforming the OECD lot. Judy Dempsey calls the OECD the rich club. In any event, the U.S. is outperforming. The closest rival is Britain, trailing. The outperformance is part of how America's put together. We take risks. Europe does not, I learn, according to Europe. In any event, AI is leading the pack. Europe doubts AI. Got to solve that. Don't know what they see in it. That's $300 billion from the richest companies on earth to build out. And it's doubted what a collapse would be. The imaginations of those European rascals, investors. Turn to Judy Dempsey herself talking about NATO and EU and the probes along the Russian NATO frontier. Another one within the last 24 hours at the Copenhagen airport. Sure, it's a thing. And the interesting part is how those who remain in denial, we depend upon them. I'm told that the Prime Minister of Denmark is in denial a little bit. She moved one way or t'other. Didn't blame Russia, said, could be Russia. It was Russia. Walks like a dove. Probing. And then Mary Kissel comments on the Russian probes, but also at the same time the disappointment of the United Nations in its 80th birthday and the disappointment of everybody in the United Nations in its 80th birthday. Hardly mentioned in the Ukraine crisis. In fact, not mentioned. Hardly mentioned in the Gaza crisis. Well, there was UNRWA, but that's a very strange claim to be participating in the corruption of Hamas and Gaza at the same time. Is UNRWA more dangerous than Hamas? Yes, has been for decades, feeding money into the children who grew up to be the killers. Can do it again, I'm told. Conversation with Jonathan Schanzer about the also the threat from the north, the Hezbollah, the threat from Syria, a fragmented state, a threat from the Houthis, continuing to lob drones and missiles at Israel, and considerably restricting the Red Sea traffic. And then Tehran, of course, reconstituting, reorganizes its nuclear weapons program. Suspect. Snapback is ready. Will they do it? Will they actually follow through? Jonathan Schanzer tells me in Germany that was the word. We're going to do this. Iran is bizarre. They're going right up to the edge. Gregory Copley joins. We discuss the decline and irrelevance of Australia's national security team. Why? Too long. Just happened. And it's in the hands of a man who doesn't believe in national security right now. Anthony Albanese. Same problem Europe has. All for welfare net, none for guns. And that leaves you vulnerable to probes along the NATO frontier, one cynic might say. Then a conversation about the gerontocracy above the Communist Party, led by Xi Jinping. My fellow septuagenarians, our time is gone. Appreciate the young. We gave them a world that was better than the one we inherited, and they will do the same for their children. Stand down, septuagenarians. Stand down. Well done. The credit to you will come in ages. You started after the bomb, and the bomb will outlast us. Is the bomb a peace gesture by fate? Don't know. Haven't read that story. Gregory also speaks of the Red Sea. He's written about it for years, the Red Med. It's now a considerable risk. We've lost it as a reliable corridor for global trade and for growth. The insurance companies are confiscatory if you try to push a boat through. Instead, they go around Africa. This is by a gang in North Yemen called the Houthis. hardly believable. No one will stand up to it, no transnational organization, no state. We also talk about the king knitting together America and Britain, despite the best efforts of Labour and the PM, Keir Starmer, to give reason for a fracturing. Mr. Trump and Mr. Starmer were at the Windsor Palace state dinner. The king toasted everyone. The king is magnificent. Britain should go back on the model. And we could join, too. A president to be head of state, a king to be a president to be head of government, a king to be head of state. Conversation about the Trump Organization once upon a time with Craig Unger. Mr. Trump was clever. He did not put his own money nor his name to these developments in Panama City and Azerbaijan, Baku, and America. And as Craig has taught me, there's nothing illicit anywhere about real estate being used to launder money from other gaining positions. It might tell a wacky story, but it's not illicit. You're not getting away with something that says crime. You're taking advantage of a loophole. Laundering money through real estate is well established. Who knows when it started, but it's clever. And then a conversation with Tal Fortgang about the broken window syndrome on campus. If it looks small, it's not, because it'll lead to larger things. Hence the crisis of 2024 on campus, thinking that was free speech when in fact it was provocation and aggression. There's much more to the show. I hope you like it. Germanicus and I will discuss the twists and turns of Ukraine on Sunday, live at 6 p.m. Good night.